I'll go into some news items then, to start off with, before we go into the Bible study proper. There's been a fair few bits and pieces that have came up in the news. A few social areas, I think, first of all. One thing that has come in fairly strongly in the news over here in the UK is the fact that our birth rate is falling quite considerably. I know that certain people are trying to make up for it, but generally our birth rate is falling, and apparently the reason for this is that women do not want to go ahead and have children. They'd rather have the careers and the fun and the lifestyle that they want. And this particular article here says, "Why should I have to go through the pain of childbirth?" It says, "Mrs. James didn't want to put herself through a natural childbirth. I was perfectly healthy, but I wanted a cesarean, and I would not be talked out of it." There's a group of women who have this attitude that it is macho to go through the pain of childbirth. Why should I have to do that? I would not walk the streets of London with a screaming headache without taking a painkiller. And that is one area that, in fact, people are going against. And the NHS has just come up with something, some guidelines to actually stop the automatic cesareans on whenever people ask for them, which is probably going to cause even more women not to have children. It's another one. It says Britain's high birth rate has fallen to a historic low because professional 30-somethings want to enjoy the good life for longer, says new research. It says, labeled later maters, they believe children are mixed blessings with clear penalties for parents, especially women. And that is true. I mean, children are mixed blessings. However, we live in a very self-absorbed and selfish society, and this is the reason why the values are being screwed, and the values are being changed. And it says money and travel come first, and then come children. Caroline Harding, 34, spent her 20s establishing a career and fulfilling her ambitions to travel. Her priority was economic independence, and the overriding issue for me was financial security, said Caroline, a marketing director. I liked being my own woman and having my own income. Again, is that really the way that God has designed? Well, no, it's not. But it's just a sign of the times in that regard. IVF babies are more likely to have mixed up genes. Quite interesting article here. It says human chimeras, people that are a mixtures of two genetically distinct individuals, may be becoming more common because of the increasing use of modern fertility techniques. You say more common. How can you have one without having an IVF baby or having some kind of artificial device? Well, what in fact happens is where there are twins, two fetuses in the womb, and they combine, so they've got two distinct individuals, you can actually have cells, different parts of the body which have different types of cells from two different people, it appears. So when they do all these tests, say somebody takes a blood test, they will find that, you know, you're not the father of a certain child, or you're not the mother of a certain child, even though you gave birth to it, because your ovaries and your blood have two different types of cells. They're actually coming from two different fetuses in the womb. Now, that is the natural. I don't think it's a natural thing, but that is in fact what very, very rarely happens. But what's happening now with the IVF babies is that this occurrence is becoming much, much more widespread. Now, the repercussions of it, we don't know. But it's with, like so many of these things, the repercussions of these things could be quite devastating. We just don't know. We're going into this brave new world. Another one, farm sealed off after the potato rot outbreak. Scientists were last night attempting to prevent the spread of a highly contagious potato disease after it was discovered in Britain for the first time. Ring rot, which can destroy half a crop, was found during a routine test of seed potatoes at a Middlewood farm in Bulk near Brecon in Powys. So that's not very far away from us. And that particular rot, it just basically destroys the potato crop. But this, you know, is almost to be expected. It talks about being cursed in the countryside, as far as the curses are concerned. And this one is, if Labour has its way, the countryside will lose its protector. It says, Lord Hykins' report on the delivery of rural service proposes the abolition of England's wildlife watchdog, English Nature. It says, but many, perhaps most sites of special scientific interest in southern England are no longer part of the agricultural economy, with livestock farming in retreat and some of the best remaining meadows, heaths and downs turning to scrub before our eyes. It says a wildlife policy run by an agricultural department would deliver nothing but enhanced mediocrity, and the preservation of wildlife will be run by a recreation body, and the recreation world is populated by well-meaning busybodies who think that wildlife is a single entity that thrives best when you plant trees in straight lines and close together. So it's again, it's people who do not understand the countryside that are having an influence within the countryside, and we see this progressively more. Another subject as well, this is coming from the United States. It says, Roy's Rock judge gets the sack, but he fights on. A judge known as Moses of Alabama was sacked from his state bench yesterday, but vowed to continue his crusade to keep God at the center of American life. Roy Moore was defiant after being fired as Alabama's chief justice for ignoring a federal ruling demanding the removal of his courthouse of a 2-ton monument of the Ten Commandments. He'd put himself above the law in refusing to obey the order, fellow judges in Montgomery concluded, deciding unanimously to sack him. So, you know, which law is he putting himself above? If we turn over to Hosea, into Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7. We find in Hosea 7, verse 9, it says, strangers have devoured his strength, and he doesn't know it. Yes, grey hairs are here, there, and upon him, and he doesn't know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, and they do not return to the Eternal, their God, nor seek him for all of this. The reason for America's greatness and the reason for Britain's greatness has been largely the commandments and the law of God. But at the moment, we are looking at multiculturalism as being the thing that is to be desired, I suppose, and this multiculturalism doesn't have a place for the commandments. They have no idea that by doing that they are going to actually destroy the very nation, the nation itself. You get a few people that will fight on, but ultimately even, you know, those voices will be quelled, and eventually we will have a nation that has gone this multicultural route. And the kind of results that we have and that we see, this new Harry Potter film apparently delves into the dark side. It was this headline again from this last week. It says, Alfonso Cuarón, who still has severe 7 months of work to complete Harry Potter. Could somebody put the... Oh, there's no light there, is there? Okay. Crossed off a 99-second trailer. With a teasing shot of the claw of a soul-sucking dementor and to be one of the foulest creatures on earth. So we're looking at this, well, I've got this picture here of this creature that's coming out of the depths of whatever, and the idea is, as far as Harry Potter, something that was looked upon as relatively benign, which it wasn't, it was coming directly from the occult. It says he has even included a choir of Hogwarts students singing Something Wicked This Way Comes, the title of Ray Bradbury novel about a dark carnival which comes into a Midwestern town to destroy every life touched by its sinister mystery. And again, we're looking at a society that if people came back from, say, the First World War and had a look at, they would be absolutely disgusted. They'd be utterly disgusted with what they fought and died for, and the comrades fought and died for. But it's come upon us in a slow and a stealthful way, and strangers have indeed devoured our strength, and our strength has been sapped and is being sapped at the moment. I'll leave that one there, I think. Now, going on to Europe itself, apparently, Europe has unveiled an agency to protect its borders. Plans were unveiled yesterday for a pan-European border agency to help to seal the European Union's new frontier after expansion next year. So it is, again, part of the signs of the times where there's a unity. They're trying to gain a unity so the national states are not where the borders are. It's like a ring fence around the national states. And today, you apparently can travel anywhere in Europe by using an identity card. And it's interesting that at this particular time, there are certain articles that are also appearing. Compulsory identity cards by the back door. Passports and driving licenses are to cost almost double under the Blunkett scheme. Compulsory identity cards could be introduced by the back door within 4 years under a scheme outlined yesterday by David Blunkett, the Home Secretary. From 2007, people renewing passports would be issued with an ID card and would have to pay £77 at current prices. At present, passports cost £42. Identity cards may also be combined with the driving licenses at a cost of £73 each instead of £38 each. So again, they have said that they want to go ahead and have identity cards, which they certainly do, and in doing so, they've got to bring them in by the back door. But these borders, they're trying to have like ring-fenced, so it is becoming more and more into a super state, which is what we're looking at eventually. But it'll be a super state which will still be fragmented. We've got to make sure we don't run the mistake of thinking, oh well, until we have the super state, it hasn't actually occurred. See, ID cards apparently are in doubt to some degree because the Scots have actually opted out, and the Scottish Parliament has gone ahead and thrown out the idea of compulsory identity cards. But with the ideas of a driving licence and also the ideas of passports, they can do that by the back door. There's an interesting article, however, that appeared. It says, sir, it seems that the government's, this is a letter, tracking system for 25 million cattle is a bit of a shambles, with around 500,000 records in error, which you report on November the 13th. These animals live uneventful lives with their ID cards stapled to their ears. What are the chances of David Blunkett's version covering 60 million people? Which I thought was quite interesting, because they're having such a problem trying to actually keep track of the cattle, let alone all of the people as well. But in this light, we still see moves. France and Germany, another article from this week, France and Germany plan alliance to dilute the US power. It says senior French diplomats concede that they have given up their long relationship with America as long as President Bush remains in office. Since opposing the war in Iraq, France has been ignored in Washington, and Paris says its attempts at reconciliation have failed. It says the Franco-German alliance has been gathering pace all the years, deepening by the two countries' opposition to the war in Iraq. So this war in Iraq does seem to be having an effect, and it seems to also be pushing France and Germany together. However, if you turn over to Genesis 49, over in Genesis 49, France had better start to learn some lessons, because in Genesis 49, God says what in fact Reuben is like. And it says in verse 3, it says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, unstable as water. You shall not excel. You shall not excel. Now that is the Jacob's prophecy given by the Spirit of God about Reuben, and she hasn't. She's done a certain amount, excellency of might, and it's certainly a great deal of dignity and everything else that they try and project, but they're not going to excel because you went up on your father's bed and defiled it, and he went up onto my couch. Basically, they've got a certain trait in their character. And yet you see in Isaiah 10, we don't have to turn there, but in Isaiah 10 it talks about Assyria as being the rod of my anger. And we see, therefore, that what's going to come out of Europe is going to be an Assyrian, a German-based alliance, in which France might play a part, because it's not all Reuben, not all of France is Reuben. Some of France is Reuben, the northern areas, the Breton, and going down towards Paris, but the southern areas are not. And so, although France almost certainly will play a part in this alliance, we're not looking at the Reubenite nature being there. It's not going to be there. They're not going to excel. They're not going to succeed against Germany. Another interesting article that appeared again this week. It says, "Don't ignore Christianity," say the wise men of Europe. It says 22 of Europe's wise men, from ex-prime ministers to Nobel Prize winners, have denounced France's insistence on secularizing the European Union and establishing a strict separation between church and state. In an essay in yesterday's Le Monde, the elder statesman said that in Europe, Christianity was at the root of the fundamental notion of the individual. They said Christianity had a paradoxical history, as it both created the European conscience and caused wars. The role of religion has been debated throughout the centuries of intellectual and scientific advance, but had ultimately always come down to a choice of individual and their conscience, they added. But there is a move away from the secularization that you're looking at within Europe. It's they're certainly trying to get away from the secularization if they possibly can. Right, going into the Iraq war, Bush speeds up the exit strategy. President George Bush ordered the senior envoy in Iraq last night to speed up the handover of power to local politicians following warnings from the CIA of impending disaster and a suicide bombing that killed 18 Italian paramilitary police. Paul Bremner, the US administrator in Iraq, was rushed back from Baghdad to plot a new course for American officials who have been forced to use the word war for what has been described as mopping up operations. And that is really something that we need to be aware of. We are watching at the moment the war in Iraq. We did not see the war in Iraq when the Americans first went in there. The concept that Mr. Armstrong mentioned about America having lost its last, won its last war, is a true one. It is, because even in Afghanistan they haven't won the war. The war is still going on. Al-Qaeda is still at large. Al-Qaeda, if anything, is stronger after that war. And although they go ahead and win the battles, the wars they don't. They do not win. And they are currently fighting the war, and they are fighting it, and they are losing. Because they're fighting against an ideology that is quite willing to go ahead and blow themselves up, and they don't know how to handle it, because it's totally alien to the Western mindset. It's something totally alien to that Western mindset. In that area, and this is something we must be aware of and must keep in our minds, is that we're not looking just at the present wave of terrorist bombings that we see. The idea that this horrendous bomb that went off, it was a tanker packed with explosives. I mean, that is horrendous, and many people died in Iraq. But there's another article here from the 12th of the 11th, or whatever that is, November the 12th, last Wednesday. It says, 18 years of lies from Iran over its nuclear plans. It says, Iran has systematically lied about its nuclear program for 18 years, seeking to hide the development of key technology or techniques needed to make fissile material for nuclear weapons, according to a report by the United Nations watchdog. So we're looking at Iran emerging as a nuclear power. Now, Israel actually bombed, I believe it was Iran's facilities, as far as I don't know if it was Iran or Iraq, they bombed, they might even have bombed both of them. It's certainly the Iraqi facilities they had bombed, but I'm not sure what they've done about the Iranian ones. But it says, a document made available to the Daily Telegraph discloses that Iran successfully enriched uranium and extracted plutonium on a laboratory scale, providing two possible routes for a nuclear weapon. Now, the indication is from Hosea, it talks about Ephraim when he saw his sickness and Judah seeing her wound. Then they went to King Jerob and to the Assyrian. We're looking at a time when there does seem to be, I mean, when you have nuclear weapons, you have both a wound and also you have sickness. You have both. And you're looking at a disintegration of the current world stability, which would be very rapid. And it talks about a wall that is ready to break. It seems to be that this is the means by which Britain and America can in fact be brought down. The present Western state of things, the Western balance of power, the pride, the richness and everything else, the balance of wealth, can be changed overnight by these weapons. Utterly, utterly changed overnight. We could find a world, we could wake up from one day to the next into a world that is totally, totally different. And we have got to be aware of that. We've got to be aware that Mr. Armstrong said that the Third World War will begin with attacks, nuclear attacks on, and he lists various cities, and you go back and read it over in the US and BC. Now, whether that was something that God had inspired him to write, and something that we need to be therefore aware of, or whether it was something which just gives an indication and a flavor, we're not sure. But we do know that we can see what the prophecies talk about this wall that's ready to break, how it'll be a short work on the earth when we finally have to get this work done that we do need to do towards Israel, and how it'll come suddenly on those that are not watching, those that are not aware of what's going on. They don't realize that they're living in an end of an age, and they don't realize that they're looking at a society in which is about to give birth to its children spiritually, and therefore they are completely oblivious to what in fact will happen. Anything that we have to say, should we in fact be given the job of saying something regarding the situation, will be like water off a duck's back. Now, one thing that is happening also at the moment is that Georgia, now you probably don't even know where Georgia is, I've got a map here somewhere. It's down in the, you know, above Turkey, kind of northeast of Turkey, northeast of Jerusalem. It says here that Georgia, it talks about, where are we? That's not the one I wanted. There we go. Put another, there's another one I put in here. Let's see where it's gone anyway, never mind. It says, troops sent into Tbilisi. As civil war fears rise, Georgia inched closer to civil war last night as the Interior Ministry troops were ordered into the heart of the capital, and President Eduard Shevardnadze denounced the opposition leaders. Outside Parliament, thousands of angry protesters gathered for a fourth day, swearing defiance. Now, this is Wednesday's paper, which is the 12th. The day before, let's see if I've got the right days. Yeah, I've got the one here. The day before, it says, Georgia is slipping out of control. Accused of electoral fraud, President Shevardnadze is losing his grip on power. And it says, the former Soviet Republic of Georgia was sliding towards chaos last night as Eduard Shevardnadze, the embattled president, accused the opposition of trying to seize power. Outside the capital, Tbilisi, there were reports of security forces beating opposition supporters, gunmen roaming the towns unchecked by police, and isolated reports of shooting as public order began to fray. So that area is slipping all the time. Now, what in fact the significance of this is, just where it actually lies. It lies just below Russia. Azerbaijan is to the south. Armenia is also to the south. And Turkey then is on its western border. It's an area, if you want to turn over, let's have a look, Daniel 11 verse 44, let's have a look at that one, Daniel. In Daniel chapter 11, it says here, this is a future fulfillment now. The king of the north, the king of the south. In verse 41 it says, he'll enter also into the glorious land, and many will be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. And he will stretch forth his hand, and upon the countries, and the hand of Egypt shall not escape. But he will have power over the treasures of gold, silver, and all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and Ethiopians shall be his steps. Now, so we see Edom. Now, this is presumably the areas of Edom. Moab is Syria, and Ammon is Jordan. These are the areas. Now, Edom, however, stretches up beyond just Turkey. It's going out even probably further. You cannot draw a boundary by the present national boundaries. It can well go into this area of Georgia, or into certain parts of this area of Georgia. But in verse 44 it says, tidings out of the east and of the north shall trouble him, and therefore he'll go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Now, we're looking at the emergence of China and the emergence of the this eastern power block that will come down through that route, which is coming down through this area by Georgia. Georgia is a crucial area. And the reason this is important at this present time is that this other headline in this same paper, this is today's paper now, it says Shevardnadze besieges Georgia erupts, up to 20,000 anti-government demonstrators blockaded President Shevardnadze of Georgia in his office yesterday as protests against him threatened to turn violent. But it says that the secondary headline says instability that threatens the West's £1.8 billion oil pipeline dream. You see, there's an oil pipeline that's coming right through Georgia, and it's coming right out of the Caspian Sea, Azerbaijan, and these areas are in turmoil at the moment. They're in turmoil, there's a lot of Muslim activity in these areas, and this kind of turmoil is affecting the oil because it's coming down then from there down to the Mediterranean port called Ceyhan, I think it is, on the Turkish coast. It says the dirt-poor, mud-coated village of Sakir may be a far cry from the swish boardrooms of the world oil giants, but the actions of the farmers who live in Georgia's inhospitable hills, and thousands like them in the Caucasus, may soon reverberate throughout the corridors of power. Barely 500 yards from the village, work is underway to build a £1.8 billion pipeline that Western leaders hope will herald the beginning of a new era in energy policy. The plan led by BP is to link the oil fields of Azerbaijan to a terminal on Turkey's Mediterranean coast, allowing the West to tap the huge deposits being drilled in the Caspian Basin without relying on the goodwill of Russia. So this is quite a politically significant thing that is actually going on in that area. And it is an area that is going to become more and more significant because it's through that area that another army is eventually going to come. It is through that area that the Eastern Army will come. And we're looking now, there's another article now, this is coming from today's paper, and it's talking here about China. It says a giant craving global respect is rising in the East. And it says, perched on a rock in promontory high above the Yangtze, the city of Chongqing is the West's worst nightmare of China, big, dirty, industrious, and almost unknown. Sparkling new office blocks hang on the waterfront, mist over crumbling, reeking Soviet-style housing. And it says, economic growth has speeded up. At current rates, what was once a communist basket case will, in two decades, overtake not only Britain and France, but Germany and Japan to join the United States at the top of the international wealth rankings. Now, if the United States gets a problem from nuclear terrorism, then what you're going to be looking at is you're going to look at the European Union and you're looking at China. These are the two dominant blocks. That's exactly what the Bible indicates will happen. It says, analysts wonder whether the world is ready. There's global repercussions in that emergence of China, said one senior diplomat. It's going to take a lot of adjustment to accommodate it. It says, China is a standing army of 2.3 million and a long-standing sense of grievance. For two centuries, it's not been accorded the respect it deserves. I know when we saw Hong Kong handed across to China from the British what was once the British Empire, and you'd contrasted the two, the smartness of the uniforms and everything else, you could see that the Chinese were proud, arrogant, smart, absolutely you know, as crisp as a new pin, and the British were an absolute shower, whoever it was that handed it over to them. I mean, compared to the Chinese army, it was just like chalk and cheese. Chinese authoritarian state poses a challenge whether the country succeeds or not economically, it says. If it succeeds, China's leaders will seek to shape the world in a way that benefits them. I think that a failing China is the more likely. In the case of a weak China, the risk of military misadventure is high. So we're looking at, if you turn over to Joel 2, in Joel 2, this is the army. It says, blow the trumpet in verse 1, the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Eternal comes. It is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spreads upon the mountains. A great people and strong, there's never been the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Now you're looking at the Great Tribulation, and the time towards the end of the Great Tribulation, when you understand what this is talking about. A fire devours before them, behind them a flame burns. The land is the Garden of Eden before them, but behind the desolate wilderness. Yes, and nothing will escape them. You're looking at the end time, and you're looking at this army that is currently, as it says in this headline, it says, China is growing so quickly, its economy could soon be overtaking those in the West, with repercussions that will shake the world order. And that is what we're looking at. And you look at nuts and bolts, they're all coming from China. You look at ships, you look at electronic components, you look at motherboards for computers. They're all coming from China. I mean, all, that's an overstatement, but the vast majority are coming out of that area. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and as horsemen they will run. So these things, whatever they are, this army that will come, there is going to be something which is, the only thing I can describe it, is a robot-like machine. We haven't seen this yet. But they are working on it at the moment. I know they've been working on it for years. It's no secret. And once they get it right, the manufacturing base that China has, which is computer controlled, will allow this kind of army to come into existence. We are looking right now. We are watching prophecy unfolding, and we can see the potential for what is coming. It says, like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of flames of fire that devour the stubble of the strong people in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. Then they will run like mighty men. They will climb the wall like men of war. They will march every one in his way. They will not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They will walk every one in their path. And when they fall upon the sword, it will not be wounded. They will not be wounded. Now these, you're looking at some kind of machine. You're looking at a machine that can climb walls. It says they'll run to and fro on the city. They'll run upon the wall. They'll climb upon the houses. They will enter in the windows like a thief. In other words, again, you get some kind of spider-like machine, and it can close its legs together and go through a window and then open its arms again and then walk on with a man within that, or controlled electronically. You know, we can see this, and we can see the way in which these things have been described. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens will tremble, the sun and the moon will be dark, the stars will withdraw their shining, and the Eternal will utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is a strong that executes his word, for the day of the Eternal is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And you're looking at the punishment that will be actually meted out eventually on the beast power that God uses, Germany, the Assyrian, that God uses to punish Israel. And we are seeing these things coming about right now. We can see them. This is just 1 week, the last week in our newspapers. We can see these things coming. We need to be aware that they're coming, and it also therefore should put us onto our knees so that we can in fact escape these things that are coming on the world. And because everything does seem to be on track, and even though it rises and falls, these things are still on track, and we still must be aware of that.